thank you for joining with us here this evening in Bethel Free Presbyterian Church in Enniskillen, County Fermanagh, wherever you are listening in online this evening. We welcome you and we thank you for joining with us. Our prayer is the Lord will richly bless you tonight and meet you at the very point of your need, even as you hear his word and as the Lord speaks to your heart and soul this evening through his own precious and infallible word. You can listen in online to our meetings here, our broadcasting of the Word of God every Lord's Day, every Sunday, 12 noon and then 7 p.m. and then also every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. We encourage you to join with us this coming Tuesday night, 8 o'clock. I'll be along to bring God's Word at our midweek Bible study. And then Friday night, 8 o'clock, our youth fellowship will be meeting via Zoom. We encourage all the young people to join together in that fashion for that time of fellowship around the Word of God. And then next Lord's Day, the 24th of January, morning worship, 12 noon, the evening service at 7, and I'll be along to bring God's Word. So pray for these meetings, plan to join with us around the Word of God, and pray that God will own and bless His Word to the extension of His kingdom and the blessing of His people in these days. Do please remember our sister Mrs. Cook in hospital as the wife of the Reverend Gordon Cook. Do remember her in your prayers at this time. She's ill in hospital. Reverend Cook is now home from hospital. Do pray for him as well that he'll continue to know God's help and strength. Also do please pray for the Reverend Stephen Miller and his wife as they go to take up the work in Tavistock down in Devon in the south of England. Do pray for them as they go there to minister to that flock. The Lord will bless them and be with them, and that they'll settle in well, and that they'll know God's favour and blessing in that area where they labour. And then also, as we mentioned this morning, do please remember in your prayers, Mrs. Evelyn Hicks would like to express her sympathy to her on the passing of her son. So do remember her and that family in your prayers. I understand that funeral is tomorrow, so do pray especially for that family circle that they know grace and strength. And also like to sympathize with our brother, Mr. Tom Edwards, as well on the recent loss of a cousin. And we pray for that family circle as well, that they all would know God's help and grace at this time of bereavement. And as we mentioned also that today already, anyone needing pastoral care or attention, do please contact me and we'll be glad to help you in whatever way we can. Now we're going to turn tonight in God's Word to the Gospel of Luke. We're turning to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 23. And we're going to read just from verse number 27 of that chapter, just going down to the end of the verse number 38. But before we read together, we're just going to unite our hearts in prayer. I encourage you to pray in your home as well. Pray along with us and pray that God will just bless His Word and speak through His Word to our hearts this evening. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that on this, the evening of Thy day, we can gather together around the Word of God and around the open Bible. And we thank Thee today afresh for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer. Lord, Thy Word tells us that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank Thee tonight for the God-man, for that one who is seated at Thy right hand in heaven's glory, the one who died for our sins upon the cross of Calvary, who was delivered for our offenses, who has risen again for our justification, and the one who ever lives to intercede for the people of God. And Father, we rejoice, O God, this night in the acceptance, O God, that we have before Thee through Christ, the Lamb of God. And Father, we thank Thee for that precious blood that He shed, that blood that cleanseth us from all sin, that makes us whiter than the snow. And we thank Thee, O God, for the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Christ. We thank Thee, O God, for being made an inheritor of heaven through the blood of Christ, being saved from the wrath to come. And we thank Thee, O God, for the unsearchable riches of Christ. We thank Thee, O God, for the riches of Thy grace that has been made known and revealed unto us in and through the person and through the work of Thy Son. We thank Thee, O God, for this Thine own day, this day that Thou hast given to us for worship and for rest. We thank Thee for Thy presence and help this morning in the preaching of Thy Word. But Lord, we need Thee afresh, O God, tonight. And O God, we confess our sins before Thee. We pray for that fresh cleansing in the Savior's blood. We pray that Thou wilt prepare our hearts this night to meet with Thee. We thank Thee for all who have joined with us this evening. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless them wherever they might be. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou art one that knows our need. Lord, Thy word says that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And Lord, we pray for the blessing of God upon every believer, every child of God who would listen in online to Your word this evening. Bless and encourage Thy people. For any go through times of trial and difficulty and anxiety, we pray that Thou would bless them, help them. May they know what it is to cast every care and burden upon the Lord. For any, Lord, that might be cold at heart, give that restoring touch that comes from Thee. And Lord, for any that may be listening in as well on sea of Lord, we pray that Thou would speak to them. And oh, that Thou would take the scales, O God, from off their eyes. We pray, O God, that Thou will cause them to see their need of Christ. Cause them, Lord, by Thy Spirit to see their need of salvation. Oh, that they might see their lost condition before a holy God as a sinner lost and undone and unclean. And Father, we pray that by Thy Spirit and by Thy grace, that they might come and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. We thank that Christ has promised, Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Do remember every family connected with our congregation here. We thank the Lord for each one. We pray for the blessing of God to be upon every household, that Thou would unite every family circle in the Lord. Remember the sick and the aged and the infirm, those that are shut in, those that are shielding. Lord, bless them, watch over them, and encourage them, we pray. Remember, Lord, those who mourn and grieve tonight, we pray that Thou will comfort their hearts, that Thou will strengthen them by the grace of God divine. Remember, Lord, those who are ill in hospital, touch them and strengthen them, and be near them, O God, we pray. We pray for Thy blessing upon our Sunday school at this time, our children's work, the work of Bethel Children's Crusade. Bless our sister Jillian in this work. Remember our brother Colin as well. Lord, undertake for him and guide him and direct him. Open up the way again soon for the outreach ministry, we pray. And Father, we pray, O Lord, bless our young people as well. We think of our children and young people, Lord, cut off from friends and at school. And Lord, things that they would normally do at this time. We pray especially for them, that Thou wilt encourage them, that Thou wilt bless them in the ways of God, and that they will know Thy help and Thy presence and Thy nearness in a very special way at this time, we ask. Remember again, Lord, the situation in our land. We pray especially tonight for those who are ill with this COVID virus. Some folk, O Lord, on the very brink of eternity. We pray that Thou wilt draw very near, O God, we pray. And we pray that even somehow, some way, that the light of the gospel will shine into hearts for those that know Thee not as Savior. Lord, give healing, Lord, and raise people up again from this disease, we pray. And we pray for those that have been bereaved through it. Give them great comfort and give them great help, we pray. And Father, we pray for our medical services. Watch over them and protect them. Help them also day by day as they deal with this situation. Head on, we pray. Remember our government. Give them wisdom and dealing with it. And Father, we pray that in mercy, Lord, in spite of our sins and our waywardness and our rebellion before God as a nation, that Thou wilt have mercy, O Lord, and that, Lord, Thou would even be pleased to turn the tide. Grant, Lord, there will be that turning in the hearts of the people unto Thee, that seeking of God. And Father, we pray for that healing of our land, and that Thou, Lord, will remove this virus at this time, O God, we pray. Bless our church, bless our denomination at this time. Bless our every minister, every student, every layman who would preach Thy word even tonight. May they know the help and the blessing of God. And Lord, wherever Thy word is faithfully preached across Northern Ireland, the south of Ireland, and England and Scotland and Wales, bless these islands especially at this time, we pray. And Father, we pray that there'll be that turning in the hearts of many, even unto the Lord. Be with us now in the preaching of Thy word and in the reading of Thy word. Lord, speak through the word of God tonight. We thank that the word of God is not bound. Lord, You have said that the entrance of Thy word, that it bringeth light. And Lord, bless Thy word tonight. Bless Thy truth to the saving of sinners.
And Lord, give help in the preaching of your word. Realize, O God, that without thee we can do nothing. We cannot even create an anxious thought. But Lord, pour out thy spirit to this end tonight, that even through thy word going forth from this pulpit at this time, that precious souls would be made wise unto salvation. Answer prayer, for we do pray and do ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen.
Now we're going to turn tonight in God's Word to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 23. And we're going to read just from the verse number 27 of the chapter, going down to the end of the verse number 38. And I encourage you, wherever you are, to get out your Bible and read along with us. I'll be praying as you read that God would bless and that God would speak through His Word this evening. Verse 27 of Luke chapter 23. There followed him a great company of people and of women which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never give suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with them to be put to death. When they were come to that place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 38, and we pray that God will bless this reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come now to thy precious and holy word, give help in the preaching of thy word. Give clarity of mind, a plainness of speech. Give right words, Lord, from yourself. And pour out thy spirit upon preacher and upon all those who would listen in online this evening. Meet the need of every heart as thou would see that particular need. We ask in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen. As we mentioned this morning, tonight we want to look at the cry of forgiveness. And in dealing with that subject, we want to look in particular at the words of verse number 34 of Luke chapter 23. It says, Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now the last words of a dying friend are memorable. The last words of loved ones are precious. They are words that we will never forget as long as we live. Well, here in Luke chapter 23 and the verse number 34, we have some of the final words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, before he died upon the cross of Calvary. These words are in reality a prayer, if you like, a cry of forgiveness. It says in verse number 34, Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. At this point in time, the Lord Jesus Christ is in terrible agony. Spikes have been driven through his hands and through his feet as he has been nailed to the cross. All his bones are out of joint by the jolting of the cross into the socket in the ground. He has been spat upon. He has been mocked. He has been beaten. His body has become lacerated like a ploughed field because of the Roman lash. And amidst such terrible agony, and amidst such terrible ignominy and shame, the first words to fall from the lips of Christ are words of forgiveness. Yes, normally whenever a person was crucified, whoever that person was, they would have yelled, they would have cursed.
They would have spat upon their tormentors. But this was not so with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He did not revile those who crucified him. Rather, his message was a prayer of forgiveness for such. Hence he cries out in the words of our text here, Luke chapter 23 and verse number 34, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And this evening it is this first cry of Christ upon the cross that I want us to look at. It is a prayer of forgiveness. As you and I would look at this prayer, this cry of forgiveness, there are four important lessons I want just to share with you from this cry of Christ upon the cross. You'll notice, first of all, here with me, the reality of Christ's prayer on the cross. It says there in verse 33, "When they were come to that place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus," that's whenever he was being crucified, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Here you see that in the midst of great agony and shame and great pain, what does Christ do? He prays. It's very interesting to note here that he did not cry out for pity, nor does he curse those who crucified him, nor does he even pray for himself. But rather we see here that in the reality of his prayer on the cross, that he prays for his enemies. He prays for those very people who nailed him to the cross. And as he prays for them, he prays, "Father, forgive them." You know, whenever you stand back and look at that fact that Christ prayed such a prayer, it really shows to you the great love, indeed the great compassion that the Lord Jesus Christ has for lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinners and those who are guilty of sin. Maybe tonight, as you listen to this message, you wonder in your own heart, "Does anyone really love me? Is anyone really concerned about me?" Maybe you think, "Does anyone really care for me?" We thank God, yes, for the love and care of family and friends, but that can fail. That can grow dim. That can wax and wane with the passage of time. But let me say this, this is not so with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the good news of the gospel message is this. It is this, that Christ loves sinners. He loves sinners like you and like me. The hymn writer could say, "There is no love like the love of Jesus." Think of the words of the Apostle Paul. He who described himself as the chief of sinners in the Bible. He says this about Christ. He says, "The Son of God who loved me." He knew that the Lord loved him personally and especially. In the Gospels, you read of a certain rich young ruler who made an inquiry to Christ about how to have eternal life. And sadly, we read in the Scriptures how that rich young ruler turned away from the Lord. He turned his back upon the Lord. Yet what does it say about Christ regarding that young man? It says this, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him." The Lord loved him. Indeed, the hymn writer could say, "The love that Jesus had for me is more than tongue can tell." Yes, speaking to his people in the book of Jeremiah, the Lord says, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." And as you think tonight of the reality here of Christ's prayer on the cross when he prayed, "Father, forgive them," it shows to you and I the reality of his love. That love that is beyond all human understanding. That love that is beyond all human comprehension. It is also important to note here as well that as Christ prayed here this prayer on the cross, it's important also to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ was one who began, he commenced his public ministry on earth with prayer. And you will see that if you turn back to Mark's Gospel, to the chapter number 1 and the verse number 35, here you read about the commencement of Christ's public ministry. Then it says, "In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And that is how Christ commenced his public ministry. He commenced it with prayer. You think about that, and then think of where do we find the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 23. We find him in the closing moments of his life, closing time of his life. Now he is dying. Those hands that once ministered to the sick could no longer minister. His feet could no longer walk in errands of mercy that had been so kind and merciful to others during his public ministry. Yet the thing to note here is that Christ is one who ends his earthly ministry with prayer. He began it with prayer, and now he ends it with prayer. He still prays. Dear Christian, tonight there's a wonderful example here to follow in all of this. Yes, sickness, dear Christian, may affect your body that you can no longer serve the Lord as you once served him. Old age may also prevent you from serving the Lord publicly as you once served him. The ungodly perhaps may stop you and prevent you from serving the Lord publicly as you once did. But still, dear Christian, you can pray. You can pray to God. You can pray for others. You can pray for God's work. You can pray for God's servants. You can pray for yourself, your family. You can still lift up your heart and soul to God in prayer. For the Bible says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Dear believer, as long as you have breath, no matter how dark or trying your circumstances may be, you can still pray. The Bible says continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. You and I were to pray without ceasing. Follow the example here of Christ. Even in his final moments before he died, he is praying, seeking God as Heavenly Father. Also, as we think further here of this prayer, the reality of the fact that he prayed, let us also note the manner in which Christ prayed. It says here that he prayed, Father, forgive them. And the thing to note here is this, despite all his suffering, you'll see here that his faith remains true. He calls God his Father. He does not mock God the Father. He does not complain or murmur against God the Father or deny God the Father because of what he is suffering. No. He refers to God as his Father. He says, Father, forgive them. Here we see the meekness of Christ to the will of God. The submission of Christ to the will of God. There was no murmuring here. There was no complaining here. Christ was one who never lost sight of the fact that he was God's Son and that God the Father was his Father in heaven. Again, there's a lesson there for you and I, dear child of God, and all of this. Child of God, yes, you may be called to suffer much in this life. You may be called, yes, to face great trials in this life. But in those trials, do not murmur against God. Do not complain against God. The Bible says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Yield and submit to God. Follow the very example of Christ. Yes, in your deepest of trials, in your most difficult of times, remember the great promise of Christ. He says, for I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, dear Christian, in all of the trials of life, may you have the spirit of the hymn writer, who spoke of the Lord regarding his own trials in life, and he said these words, he says, with mercy and with judgment. My web of time he wove, I bless the hand that guided, I bless the heart that planned, when throne where glory dwelleth. In Emmanuel's land, he was one who yielded to the Lord, the Lord's will and purpose for his life, even in the sufferings of his life. Yes, we see here the reality of Christ's prayer on the cross. But notice, secondly, tonight, notice the subjects of Christ's prayer on the cross. You know, whenever you and I are in trouble, yes, we will pray for ourselves. But this was not so with Christ. He prays here for his enemies. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here he is, and he's praying for the soldiers. He's praying for the religious leaders. He's praying for the mob that had gathered round the cross that day. Those who had cried out, let him be crucified. He was praying for them. Here we can say that the Lord Jesus Christ was one who practiced what he preached. From the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, he says there, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And we can say also tonight that Stephen, the first Christian martyr, he prayed also in a similar fashion as Christ prayed here for when he was being stoned to death. He prayed for those who were stoning him, and this is what he prayed. He says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He prayed for those who were his enemies here on earth. Believer, can I say this is the example that you and I also are to follow in our prayer life. By such praying, yes, we will show a forgiving spirit. And can I say this? Such praying is also a recipe, a pattern for God's blessing in our own lives personally. For remember what the Bible says of Job. At the end of Job, in Job chapter 42, in the verse number 10, it says this about Job. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And that was his friends who had mocked him and despised him. Yet Job prayed for them. And God blessed Job in a mighty way and in a powerful way. Also, we can say further here, the fact that Christ prays here for his enemies, it shows to you and I the very fulfillment of the Scriptures of God. For some 700 years before, in Isaiah chapter 53, in the verse number 12, it says these words about Christ. It says, he was numbered with the transgressors and bare the sin of many. Then it says this, and he made intercession for the transgressors. This was prophesied 700 years before that Christ would pray for his enemies. What does that tell you and I about God's Word? It tells us that God's Word is truth. That God's Word is dependable. That you can depend upon it. That you can build your life upon the Word of God. Also, this fact here that Jesus Christ prayed this prayer for his enemies, it also highlights to us man's greatest need in this life. And you might ask that question tonight. What is man's greatest need? You might ask yourself the question, what is my greatest need? Man's greatest need, your personal greatest need is this, it is the forgiveness of sins. That is man's greatest need here on earth, the forgiveness of sins by God. Dear friend, yes, you may have good health tonight, and as has often been said, your health is your wealth. How important it is to have good health, and we thank God for it. Day by day, we should never take it for granted. And we should appreciate our health and strength, and that is a great blessing. Perhaps you have got wealth, you have got fortune, you have got estate. Maybe a good job, a good career, a good home, a good car, a good family and friends. And those things are all important in life, and we thank God for them, as long as they're kept in their proper place. Friend, over and above all these things, remember this, that one day you are going to die. Should the coming of the Lord tarry, we must needs die, says the Bible. And the only thing that is going to matter when you die and when you give up your last breath, it is this, are your sins forgiven by God? That's all that matters when you come to die. Are your sins forgiven by God through the blood of the Lamb, through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the all-important matter. That's the all-important issue. When you come to leave this world, are your sins forgiven by God through His Son, Jesus Christ? Why do we emphasize this tonight? Why do we make so much about this in our preaching? It is because of It is only if your sins are forgiven by God when you come to die that you will enter heaven, that you will be sure of heaven. That is why this matter is so important. And the only way that your sins can be forgiven is by you, yes, coming in faith to Christ, to this same Jesus who was crucified on the cross, who rose again. It's by you coming to Him in faith as a repentant sinner and trusting Him, putting your faith and your trust in His finished work on the cross, depending on His shed blood alone for the forgiveness of your sins. The Bible says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That word redemption there speaks of the way to have sins forgiven through Christ, through his death upon the cross. It means to have your sins forgiven by God through Christ. It means to be accepted as righteous before God through Christ. Christ is the one that you must trust in. You must put your faith in. If you are to have your sins forgiven by Almighty God, Christ is the one that you must confess your sins to. He is the one that you must lay hold upon with the hand of faith. If your sins are all to be forgiven by Almighty God. Turn with me in your Bible over to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. I want you to look with me at verse number 38 and verse number 39. Here Paul is preaching to Antioch. This is really part of his message to the people of Antioch, and he speaks to them about Christ, how they could have their sins forgiven through Christ. And the message is still the same for you tonight. You can only have your sins forgiven by God through Christ. Look at what he says in verse 38 and verse 39 of Acts chapter 13. He says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, and that's the Lord Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him, in other words, through him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. There you see it very clear, very plainly put, that you can only be justified, know your sins forgiven, accepted as righteous before Almighty God by Christ, by trusting in him. By trusting him as your own and personal Savior. This is the all-important matter tonight. Are your sins forgiven by God? Do you know the forgiveness of sins through faith in Christ? Paul could say of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, that the forgiveness of sins. And when Christ prayed this prayer, Father, forgive them, he is highlighting your greatest need. He's highlighting my greatest need. And what is that need? It is to have our sins forgiven by God through Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. Yes, we see the subjects here of Christ's prayer on the cross. We see the reality of his prayer on the cross. But notice, thirdly tonight, notice the solemnity of Christ's prayer on the cross. Look at what he prays. He says, Father, forgive them. And then notice this next statement. For they know not what they do. They know not what they do. And that there tells us that the crowd at the cross were ignorant. They were ignorant of the awful enormity of their sin that day. They were ignorant of the awfulness of their sin that day. They knew not that they were crucifying the Lord of glory. Yes, we can say that crowd ought to have known, because the Old Testament scriptures that the Jews were familiar with had spoken much about Christ and about the sufferings of Christ. While he was here on earth in his public ministry, Christ lived a perfect life, and that life was manifest to the Jews. He was without sin. He'd done mighty works. He'd done many mighty miracles. Yet despite such proof, this people here at the cross, they were blinded by sin. They were blinded by Satan. They did not recognize Christ as the promised Messiah, as the promised Savior. The Bible says of Christ, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Thus they committed the worst of all sins. And what is that sin? Was that they rejected Christ as Savior. Oh, see the solemnity of these words. They know not what they do. Dear friend, as you listen to this message tonight and as you think of your own heart and think of your own life, think back over the days and the years and the months that you have lived upon this earth and examine your life in the light of God's Word and the reality of your sin in the light of God's Word. Yes, you may have committed some awful sins. Sins that would cause you to blush if they were mentioned in public. Yes, there are sins maybe that have happened that you've committed in your life that you would be totally ashamed of if they were known publicly. Yes, afraid that they may be known and known by others. That may be so. But dear friend, let me say this. The worst of sins that you've committed is this. What is it? The worst of sins. It is your rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You see, other sins can be forgiven. But if you die and leave this world rejecting Christ as your Savior, then you can never be forgiven by God. You can never be saved. If you die, leave this world, rejecting Christ as Savior, you can never be saved. All hope for you is gone. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks of those who reject Him as Savior and who would die in their sin rejecting Him. And He says, if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. And whither I go, you cannot come. He was warning them that there was no hope of heaven for them if they died in their sin, rejecting Him as their own and personal Savior. If you die in your sin, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, eternal destiny is sealed. Sealed for a lost eternity in hell itself, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Your destiny is sealed in the wrath of God and the lake of fire and hell forevermore. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You cannot escape hell after this life. If you die rejecting Christ and die neglecting God's offer of salvation, true faith in Christ. You turn with me in your Bible over to Revelation chapter number 6 and the verse number 8. This verse really highlights the reality of a lost eternity in hell for those that die in their sin. Speaking, yes, of the judgment of God, it says in verse 8 of Revelation chapter 6, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death. And notice these words, and hell followed with him. Notice there that hell follows death. My, when a person dies in their sin, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Friend, neglect Christ as Savior, you have no hope of heaven. You have no hope of forgiveness. You have no hope of pardon before God and with God. Oh, as you would consider the solemnity of these words, for they know not what they do. See the seriousness. See the awfulness of your sin of rejecting Christ as Savior. This is the worst of all sins, to reject Christ, to turn your back upon the Son of God. And to say, I will not have this man to reign over me. I will not have this man to be my Savior. It's the worst of all sins. To turn away from God's eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to refuse His salvation. And to refuse Him as Savior. That's the solemnity of Christ's prayer, the subjects of His prayer, the reality of His prayer. But notice one final thought here this evening. Notice the answer to Christ's prayer here on the cross. What was the answer to this prayer? If you turn your Bible over to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, go on over from Luke, on over to John, and go to Acts of the Apostles and to the chapter number 2. Here you'll see something of the answer to this prayer of Christ on the cross when He cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Look at Acts chapter 2. Look with me, please, at the verse number 23. Here you have Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, preaching to the Jews. He speaks to them of Christ in verse 23. He says, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. And there he is preaching to the very people who had crucified the Lord. One down the chapter to verse number 36. Here again Peter is preaching. And it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So there can be no mistaking here. He's preaching to the very people who had crucified the Lord. And I want you to see now what follows. Look at verse 37, verse 38, verse 39, right down to the end of verse 41 of the chapter. It says, now when they heard this, heard the preaching of Peter, what he had preached about Christ, the crucifixion of Christ, it says, they were pricked in their heart. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then look at the very next verse, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Go down to the very last verse, verse 47. It says, and the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. Here you see what happened at Pentecost. Just after Peter had preached to the crowd who had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, we're told there that 3,000 souls were converted that day, and multitudes indeed afterward. And among that crowd were those who had called out for the death of Christ earlier on, those who had said of Christ, his blood be on us. On our children, there were those from their midst who were saved by the grace of God. They listened to the gospel that Peter preached. They repented of their sins. They put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is how God mightily and miraculously and marvelously answered the prayer of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There were those who were saved by the grace and power of God. There were others also saved at the crucifixion of Christ. Think of the dying thief who cried out, Lord, remember me. Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. There was also the Roman centurion who cried out, truly, this is the Son of God. When he witnessed and saw Christ dying on the cross and pouring out his life unto death. Yes, the prayer of Christ here was mightily answered. We see that answer in the testimony of those who repented of their sins, who put their faith, who put their trust in Jesus Christ and in his sacrifice alone for their salvation. Dear unsaved friend tonight, let me say this, whoever you are, my prayer is that you too would do the same even tonight. Yes, you know that you're a lost sinner before Almighty God. You know that. You know that Christ went to the cross as an atonement for sin. In other words, you know that he died for sin. The Bible says Christ died for our sins. It says this man offered one sacrifice for sins forever. You know this. You know you're a sinner. You know that Christ died on the cross for sins. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ invites you to come to him and trust him for salvation. The Bible is full of the invitations of Christ to sinners. Think of what he says in Isaiah chapter 1 and the verse number 12. He says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And you know that Christ invites you to come to him and trust him for salvation. You know this. You know also that if you do not trust him, you'll go to hell. If you reject him and be punished eternally for your sins. For the Bible says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. These are things that you know. Maybe you've known them for many days, many years. Maybe you'll look back tonight over your life from the very earliest of your days, even from you were a young child. These are things that thou hast known, that you have been taught, you've been told by others, maybe a Sunday school teacher, a family member, a friend, a children's evangelist, somebody that works with you, whatever. You know you're a sinner. You know that Christ died on the cross to pay the price for sinners. You know the Lord invites you to come to him. You know that if you reject him, you'll die in your sin. You'll perish in your sin.
In light of that knowledge, I say to you tonight, my friend, the wisest thing that you could do tonight, right now at this very moment in time, is to receive Christ by faith and to trust Him as your own and personal Savior. He says, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He was once a wayward son, and he lived a sinful life. Later on, he realized the folly of that life, and he confessed his wrongdoing to his father, asking for the father's help and the father's forgiveness, and that loving father forgave him. That father helped him out. And you know, just as that loving father forgave and helped his son, I tell you, this Christ will forgive you. He will save you from your sins. He'll bring you to heaven. If you repent, if you come to Him by faith, trust Him, ask Him to be your own and personal Savior. It says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, He, that's the Lord, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when you trust Christ as Savior, you'll hear those words of pardon from Christ to your soul. The sins which are many are all forgiven. Christ cried out on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There was those that day who heard that prayer who later on were saved, who trusted Christ. You have heard that prayer tonight from the Word of God. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, me, heed the lessons tonight of the Word of God. Dear friend, if you're not saved, repent of your sin. Put your trust in Christ, whom to know is life eternal. We'll just close our time around God's Word with a time of prayer. Even as we close in prayer, if you're not saved, just lift up your heart and soul and prayer to God wherever you are and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, forgive my sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for dying on the cross for me. Save me from my sin. Take away my sin. Wash away my sin in your precious blood. Make that your prayer tonight. And God will answer and God will save you for time and for eternity. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for Thy presence with us around the Word of God. Lord, bless the truth of Thy Word to our hearts, as Thou alone would see our need. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. And Lord, for any listening in online tonight not saved, who still have not the forgiveness of sins in their life, Lord, disturb them tonight. Disturb the sleep of death within their soul. Convict them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And that by Thy Spirit and by Thy grace may they come in repentance and faith to Christ. Trust Him whom to know is life eternal. Bless Your Word also to every believer, every child of God. And help us also to be a praying people day by day, who live for Your honor and for Your glory. Watch over us in this week. Keep Your hand upon us all for good until we meet again around the Word of God. For we do pray and we do ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen.